Australia moves to open up one of the world's untapped coal reserves. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig in for Anu Anand. Good morning. We start with crude oil prices this morning, which have surged more than 4%, the biggest one-day gain since January, after two oil tankers were damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman. The Gulf is the entrance to the Strait of Hormuz, which is located just below Iran. It's part of a vital shipping lane that allows a fifth of global oil supplies to pass through from Middle Eastern producers. The U.S. Navy says it's investigating reports of explosions, and Iran's state news agency says one of the tankers sank after catching fire. The BBC's Middle East analyst, Alan Johnston, has more.
The two vessels reportedly hit sent out SOS signals and their crews were evacuated. Who might have carried out these attacks and how is not yet clear. But this has happened in shipping lanes that carry a significant amount of the world's oil supplies and at a time of high tension in the region. The US recently tightened its sanctions on Iran and reinforced its military in the Gulf, after four tankers in the area were damaged in sabotage operations last month. The Americans blamed Iran, and they'll suspect that the Iranians are also behind these latest attacks.
The BBC's Alan Johnston there. Let's do the numbers. Alongside a pop in oil prices, shares of European oil and gas companies are moving higher on news of that tanker incident. Meanwhile, geopolitical worries are continuing to unsettle global markets. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended flat today after yesterday's violent clashes between police and protesters speaking out against a proposed extradition bill. The protests have forced government offices in the financial district to close for the rest of the week. And Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba has reportedly filed confidentially for a secondary listing in Hong Kong. Already listed in New York, Alibaba could raise as much as $20 billion, which would make it Hong Kong's biggest share sale in nearly a decade. The Australian state of Queensland has given final approval for a controversial mine, despite strong opposition from environmentalists. The move will open up one of the world's largest untapped coal reserves, but the $1.4 billion mine, run by the Indian conglomerate Adani, could face more hurdles. The BBC's Hal Griffith reports from Sydney.
After nearly a decade of debate and demonstrations, the mine in Queensland's Galilee Basin has been given the final go-ahead. Initially, the Indian energy giant Adani promised it would be one of the biggest in the world, creating 10,000 jobs. But its ambition and production targets have been scaled back significantly, with the number now thought to be closer to 1,000 posts. Despite approval for the company's groundwater management plan, campaigners remain opposed and fear that this could pave the way for six other mines to be approved in the area.
Hal Griffith reporting there. Adani still needs other approvals to begin extracting coal, but construction at the mining site could begin within days. One of the gaming industry's biggest events is underway in Los Angeles this week. The Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, is where big names like Microsoft, Nintendo, and even Keanu Reeves are taking center stage this year. Behind the scenes, though, there are growing worries that gaming is becoming too addictive. The BBC's Mike Johnson reports.
Fortnite. Minecraft.
They flew in the war, so I didn't have to.
Grand Theft Auto. The world's three most popular video games right now, in a gaming industry worth $135 billion a year. That's more than twice as much as the global film and music businesses put together. Gaming company bosses are still licking their collective lips at the opportunities streaming might provide in future. The French company Ubisoft produces titles including Assassin's Creed, Far Cry and Just Dance. Chief executive Yves Guillemot claims that by the year 2028, streaming technology means 5 billion people could be playing games made by his company alone.
You will be able to have access to those games on all the screens you have. Streaming is not big at the moment. What is very important is mobile, which is the first revenue for the industry. And second, you have console and PC.
Well, I'm in a gaming bar called Platform in East London. This was set up by two young brothers, and both the brothers are with me, Tommaso Portinato and Niccolo Portinato. First of all, Niccolo, you obviously see this as a business opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. Our approach is gaming is for everyone.
So what do you see in gaming, particularly, Tommaso?
It's an accessible, immersive experience. Life could be compared as a game. There's a series of decisions that's going to change your path, and there's a learning curve. It's basically an unlimited source of experience for everyone.
There are plenty of people who believe there is a dark side to the gaming boom. Earlier this month, the World Health Organization officially recognized addiction to video games as an illness. There's concern about how gaming companies increasingly use online rewards to keep players returning, with daily login bonuses and other incentives. Kieran Holmes-Darby is managing director of XL Esports. That's a company which enters professional teams into hugely popular online competitions. He says, like any other activity, gaming needs balance.
Gaming itself has become so demonised, and actually I think we need to strip that back, and I think gaming is a form of entertainment. It can actually promote a lot of social skills, leadership skills.
Still, critics say gaming can become an addiction that moves from pleasure to pressure quickly, and they argue it's up to video game makers and the industry itself to help players know when to put the controllers down. In London, I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're tired of making airplane noises to get your kids to eat their vegetables, Kraft has a solution: salad frosting. The ranch dressing, as it's otherwise known, comes in a squeeze bottle with confetti on the label, all to help you hashtag lie like a parent. What's your best tactic to get your kids to eat healthy? Tweet me at Victoria Craig, and I'll share a picture of that new frosting. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.